as we look at this, he gives us basically responsibility, position, and privilege, is I guess how I'd want to say in these two verses. And we don't normally look at it that way, but I just want you to understand it. In the first little section is 16 and 17. Jesus is teaching, and if you'll notice, how many of you have a heading between verses 15 and verse 16? Okay? Now, the thing to remember when you see those headings is those aren't really in the Bible. Those are editors put those in so that you can know, you can find, you know, I'm looking for that verse on the light, and so they'll put that, you know, they'll put that in there so you understand that. Jesus is just continuing his talk, you know. So he has just done the meaning of the parable. So literally what he does, he finishes, you know, but the seed on good soil stands for those of a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a jar, puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Okay. That's a lot of little, what the Jewish scholars call teaching by what they call a string of pearls. Just one little nugget after another, after another, after another. Sometimes they're related, sometimes they're not. You know, but it was that kind of a thing. But the first thing to notice this is, in his teaching, in dealing with the parable of the sower, he gets to the good seed, you know, that's going to bear fruit. By persevering, it bears fruit a hundredfold. Okay? That's the biggest connection we need to see. The editors do us a disservice by separating those two ideas with this heading. He said some are going to bear good, they're good seeds, they're going to bear fruit, and then related to that is they're going to bear fruit because no one puts a lamp and hides it in a jar, puts it under a bed. No one takes the light and hides it so nobody can see the light. You know, it makes no sense to light a lamp if you're going to cover it up. Light enables us to see in the darkness, you know, and it reveals all the obstacles. And how many of us have bruised toes because we kick things in the night, you know, and, you know, all of those kind of things. And if you, turn on the light but hide it, what good is that? See, and then Jesus is just sort of using that obvious logic, but he's related to the good seed that bears good fruit. So the good seed's going to bear good fruit. What's the point of being a good seed and bearing good fruit if you're going to be hidden? See, you see the connection? He's making the, you know, he's not changing. He's not taking a break. This is same sentence kind of stuff. And he wants us to see that. Now, the New Testament uses the picture of light in a few different ways. You know, all sort of related, but they're sort of that. In reference to Jesus, Jesus said, I am the light. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And in John 1, Jesus is called the light several different times. And so we get this idea that the first general reference to light is the fact that it's Jesus. Jesus is the light. I am the light. I'm the one who reveals and shows God. You want to know what God is like, you want to shine the light on God, you look at Jesus. Okay, that's the idea. If you want to shine the light and see what God is like, you look to Jesus. Then there's a reference to the Word of God. Your Word is, from Proverbs 1:19, your Word is a lamp unto my feet. The picture in the Old Testament was God's word. Now, Jesus became the living embodiment of God's word. So there's a connection there. Jesus said, I am the light. Jesus is also called the word, the living word. And in the Old Testament, he said, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my feet. But that's a very unique picture in the Old Testament particularly. How many of you ever taken a walk in the woods at night? You know, how many of you done that without flashlights? That's a different experience, you know. Particularly if you're in the deep, if you're in the deep woods, you get into one of the national parks or something, and you walk at night without a flashlight. Your senses, you know, after about 15 minutes, your eyes adjust to the light. It's amazing what you can see, you know, and still with that minimal skylight and, you know, minimal starlight even, you can see some amazing things. But I always enjoy it when people, you know, walk to the, in the Kings Canyon, when they walk to the campfire program where the ranger's going to do the little program and everything. And by the time they're done, it's dark. People are going to walk back to their campsites, okay? And in campsites, they have fires going and lanterns going and everything, and you're going to walk down the road and everything. And it's like people will bring these big honking flashlights, you know. It's like, I want to get one of those military ones that, you know that they're for sale now. You turn it on, and it lights up the whole thing. When you think of what the proverb writer is saying, I want you to think of one of those little handheld lanterns that has a candle in it. Okay? And he says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. That when you walked with that lantern and you're holding it, you didn't see out there. You couldn't see where you were going. You couldn't see what the next turn was going to be. What you saw was your next step. That's a very unique picture. And sometimes it's good to remember that, but he's saying that when we use the Word of God, it is a lamp unto our feet. It shows us. It doesn't always show us. We don't know what's coming. You know, I mean, we know some general things. Jesus is coming again. You know, okay, we're all going to die. If Jesus doesn't come back, okay, we got that. You know, we know some general things. But it doesn't give us the specifics of what's happening in our life or what's going to happen next week or even what's going to happen this afternoon. He says, though, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word tells us what the next step is. And that's all we really need to know, right? So Jesus is the light that reveals God. God's word is the light to help us step by step. So you understand that. Jesus' light reveals God and it shows God. God's word is the light that shows us step by step. And then Jesus turns around to his followers and says, you are the light of the world. That believers, now that we have Christ in us, are to reflect the light in Christ, and we are to show people are going to, if Jesus is what God is like, he's the light that shows what God is like, now that we're here and Jesus is in heaven, we are the light that shows what Jesus is like. Talk about pressure. You know, that whole Christ-like thing. You know, we're supposed to be Christ-like, that people are supposed to be able to see Jesus in us. Jesus is the light, and he shows what God is like, and now we're believers, and Jesus is in us, and we're supposed to show what Jesus is like. There's a lot of illustrations that are good in understanding this, but I'm not sure they apply. One of the best ones is, you know, believers are to, I have this line, believers are to reflect the light of Christ much like the moon reflects the light of the sun. In other words, a much watered down, weaker version. That's not exactly what the scripture says. It's not a bad illustration, so we can get it. The moon has no light of its own. The moon only shines the reflection of the sun. So if we can grab a hold of that part of it, That's the good part. But the moon is still a very pale reflection. See, we're not supposed to be a pale reflection of Christ. And then the light is a reference to it as just the gospel message itself. People walking in darkness in Isaiah 9:2 have seen a great light. That when God is at work, there's light that is seen. And the idea that people, that when we're going through a trial, and we begin to see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, you know that picture? That the gospel message and the message of Jesus is supposed to be that to people. Supposed to give them hope. You know, supposed to be in a situation. And we have, you know, you've seen it. You've experienced. Maybe you haven't put it in this context. But how many times have you run into people and you're talking to them and you get done talking to them and they go, oh man, I'm so glad we're talking. I feel so much better. Guess what? You became the vessel through which God shone a light at the end of the tunnel. Just by giving them a little encouragement. Just by giving them a little hope. See? So the Bible is using light as a picture in a lot of different ways. In three of those different ways, the light is reflected through us in some way. And shining through us. So we need to know that. Now, I don't know when Jesus said this, if he had all of this in mind. But he was referencing the good seed, which is us who receive the good seed, you know, and have a good heart and are trying to reproduce Christ and bear fruit. He said, if we have the good seed, you don't take that and hide it. You let the light shine. You know, you all know that song, right? I'm going to let it. You know, that's the idea. That's the idea. It's the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Now, the question would be, why don't we? Why don't we shine with this light? You know, that's the real question, isn't it? I mean, Jesus is the light, we're the light, we're the light of the world, and while God's word is the light, the gospel message is the light, all those things are interrelated and connected, and it's supposed to shine through us in the dark world today. Why don't we shine like we should? Good question. Maybe because sometimes we don't want to shine because we don't want the light to expose the negativity we see in our own lives. We are all usually our worst critic. We all see our sin, even if no one else does. And maybe we don't want to shine the light because that light will reflect back on us. You know? That's a possibility. Maybe sometimes we just don't want to be bothered with it. You're going to shine the light. You got to keep things sort of reflective. And maybe remember the first, not the first because there've been so many. The Mummy movies with Brandon Fraser. Some of you remember those. Seen them all, you know. And in the very first one, when they go back to the city of the dead, and they're going to start, and they get their hole where they're going to go down in, and she flips over this thing and shines it up a little bit. And what is that for? Oh, you'll see. And she aims it at the sun, and then what it does, it reflects light down into the hole. It hits another mirror down in the hole, and then that mirror reflects to the others, and suddenly that whole underground chamber is lit up. But that mirror has been sitting out there collecting dust, and she has to wipe it down. She has to, literally, there's just this quick scene of her wiping it down. In order to reflect the light, you got to stay polished. See? You got to stay reflective. And sometimes we don't reflect the light because we just allow too much dirt and grime to gather in our lives, in our hearts, in our spirits. We gather too much, you know, anger, too much bitterness, too much resentment, too much jealousy. You know, too much disappointment, too many expectations. You know, anytime we do that, we tarnish the reflective surface because people aren't going to see the reflection of the light. They're going to see the dirt. You know, you ever I love getting the truck that washed and the car's washed. It's really neat. And I, you know, sometimes you go and every time we change the oil, they wash the car and everything, you know, and you're there, you know, the oil change takes 15 minutes. The car wash takes an hour and a half by the time they go through and do everything. And, you know, and you get in the car and particularly if you've paid for it and it's like you're out $20 now between the tip and the guy and everything. And you get in the car and they've used their rags and they've cleaned all the windows. But on the inside of the window is the residue from the rag. You know, just one of those little things, you know. And the light is supposed to come through the windshield, and what you see is that, you know. We're all sort of sensitive to certain things, you know. In your home, usually she is more sensitive to things than he is. You know, I need to go home and clean. Why? It looks fine. No, it's dirty. Where? You know, she sees it, he doesn't. You know, usually it's that way. You see what I mean? We all see things. If we want to reflect the light, we have to stay polished. We have to stay clean. See? And that's through forgiveness. That's through staying sharp. That's through allowing the things of life to polish us. You know, to polish us a little bit. And usually that polishing takes friction. Maybe that's why we don't like to be polished. We don't like that friction that it takes to get rid of the dirt, you know, make us look at it, all that stuff. So there's a lot of things to that. And sometimes we don't want to shine the light because we don't want any negative consequences. We don't want to face any ridicule, you know, or be known as some kind of religious freak or anything. We don't want to be known as, you know, judgmental or whatever. You know, and that always helps us to remember Luke 12:8, where it says, if you're not willing to acknowledge him before men, he will not acknowledge you before in heaven. And he says that to believers, which is a pretty hefty thing. And Jesus says, follows with, there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Oh, thank you, Lord, as if we didn't feel bad enough already. You know, because most of us know our own weakness. Even if nobody else knows our own weakness. And Jesus is going, oh, hey, I know. You know, it's all going to, the light is going to shine. It's going to show everything. You know. You ever walk in a dark room and turn on the light and look around the room and say, I wish I hadn't turned on the light? You know. That sometimes, you know. Or sometimes you turn on the light and you just see things scurry. You know. You know what I mean? So, you know, there it is. We're the light of the world. Jesus is the light shining through us. We're to reflect that light. We have to stay polished. But sometimes we just don't want to, you know. He's saying it's all going to be known. It's all going to be seen. Now, that's not a threat. When Jesus says this, he's not saying it as a threat. He's not sitting there looking at our lives going, I know what you did. You know, and sometimes we think that way, that Jesus is looking at us going, I know what you did, and I'm going to tell everybody. That's not it. What he is doing is making an observation. And I shared before how this one Catholic bishop had made, this was a century ago, had made the observation that that weakness pleads tolerance until it comes to power, and then it becomes tyrannical. You know, and you know, we see that in modern politics today, that, you know, we demand rights, we demand our rights, we don't have the rights, and so they finally get to the place of power, they have rights, and now you can't even disagree with them, and it's hate speech, and you're being persecuted because you disagree. See, it's and I've had a couple of discussions where people were debating his philosophy. Wait a minute, dude, it's not a philosophy, it's just an observation. You know, and Jesus is just, you know, making that observation. If we connect those two things, if we connect, we're the light, you know, Jesus is the light, so if we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus. That God's Word is the light that reveals Jesus, we can see that. And that we're the light of the world now, that now we're supposed to be a reflection of Jesus who's showing the light of God. And that is through the gospel message that the people hear, you know, see a great light, and that light is hearing about Jesus. We're supposed to stay polished and reflective of the light in all of that. His next statement is, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. He says, you have to listen carefully. He says, this is powerful. He's tying these all things together. If we do not pay attention and stay polished, we will lose what we already have. See? There are so many illustrations of this. I'm going to use myself as one of them. When I was going to the gym with Tim 2 or 3 years ago, Tim is a lifter. And so everything was out. Everything was about pushing weight. And Kathy will tell you, there came a time when she's going, oh, you have muscles there. I was getting really firm, you know. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, it's cool, you know. Just flex a little bit. And then he and I weren't able to go to the gym together anymore. Schedules changed, different things happened, and weren't able to go to the gym for a couple of years. And, you know, do I still have muscles? Yes. I can move air with them, you know. Now I'm going back to the gym. I'm firming those things up again. There is a, if you don't use it, you will lose it. How many people in elementary school or junior high school took a music lesson, took an instrument, but didn't, you know, you got to where you could play in the band or do a few things, but you haven't touched that thing in years and years and years. How well do you think you're going to do? See, you have to keep some things current. So when you look at this odd phrase that he who has will be given more and he who doesn't have what little he has is going to be taken away, if you put it in the context of the light and the good seed, connect all these little string of pearls, what you have is we're the light and we have to stay polished to reflect the light, because if we don't stay polished and reflect the light, more and more dirt and grime gathers on this reflective mirror that is our life, and suddenly people will not see Jesus reflected in us. They will just see the crud. And that's the thing we don't want them to see. You see his logic? Wow, Lord, don't hold back. Tell us what you really think. You know, and that is so true in our spiritual lives. People do not just suddenly fall into sin. Most of the time, their faith and their faithfulness is slowly eroded away, because they're not staying polished, they're not staying in prayer, they're not staying in the Word, they're not staying in worship, they're not staying in study. You know, there's all the things that keep us polished, they stop doing, and then suddenly, before long, they're deep into sinful practices, and they, how did I get into this mess? Well, you didn't stay polished. You know, it slowly eroded away. You know, it's like a good fire. You know, we're going to go camping this year, and I have made it. There's, you know, Kathy will tell you, I build fire in a rainstorm. You know, we can do that. But I've been studying different ways of making fires, and different kinds of fires. You know, usually start small and make it bigger, but now they have one where you put the big stuff in, you make a pyramid, and it burns down. I want to try that. Where you take the chainsaw and you cut the log this way, and you start the fire with some fuel down in the middle, and it just sort of becomes sort of a Swedish lantern that burns for hours and hours and hours from the inside. There's all kinds of ways you can do this. You know, you can take a log and drill a hole into about halfway and drill it down so it has a little wind tunnel. You light that, and it'll burn for hours. You know, all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't matter what kind of fire you have. If you don't tend to it, what does the fire do? It goes out. You have to keep tending it to keep the light there. You know, that's the whole picture. So when you read through this little two verses, little tiny paragraph, but the string of truth, No one lights a lamp and hides it under hides it in a jar so nobody can see it. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Okay, Jesus, thanks so much. You know, listen carefully. You know, whoever thinks he has will be given more. Whoever, you know, he ties these things together, and they're all about reflecting the light. And they're all about that if we don't keep ourselves polished, slowly the light dims. And we've all seen that, where something in your house is, you know, the battery's slowly going, you know, like on the remote, you know, you click and it works, you know, and the next time you're going click, click, and it works, you know, a week later you're going, you know, and it finally comes on, you know, and then you're taking the cover off and licking the end of the battery and sticking it back in, doing all that kind of fun stuff, and then finally it doesn't work, and you break down and go get new batteries. See? That kind of erosion happens in our spiritual life if we're not on top of it. So he says, listen carefully. We have to stay on top of it. If not, you know, use it or lose it. That's a powerful message, particularly when you consider he's talking about our spiritual life. He could very well be talking about our very salvation. He who does not acknowledge me before men will not be acknowledged. I will not acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. We don't want to hear that part. We want to trust that, you know, Jesus died on the cross to wash away all my sins, and I'm just going to trust that. Well, have you taken a bath? You know, the idea isn't to... How many of you ladies and gentlemen wear some kind of fragrance? Perfume. You know the history of perfume? Yeah. But back when bathing was considered unhealthy, they made the strong perfumes so nobody could smell you. And a lot of times people go through their whole Christian life, and instead of getting washed in the blood of the Lamb after, you know, they're just spraying on a little, you know, I'll spray on a little grace today, but they don't deal with the dirt. You got to deal with the dirt to keep the light shining. Father, thank you for this little statement, these little string of statements by Jesus that sometimes some people think they're not related, but they really are. They're all about reflecting the light. They're all about bearing fruit, staying polished and reflective. Father, help us to take this to heart. Help us to use what happens today in church and what happens in our lives every day to polish us up so that people can see Jesus in us and can see the gospel message as the light of hope. That's what it's all about. And when they see that, we have the chance of bearing fruit. Father, thank you for Jesus' wisdom, and help us to grasp it and make it our own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.